Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay. I'm your host, and I'm pumped to be here. It's Wednesday night. I just got back in town today from New York City, and I'm back. Had a great time, and I'm excited to be here today. My hair's out of control. I'm going to get a haircut. Every time I tell people that I'm going to get a haircut, they're like, oh, you're going to get your hair cut off? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to get a haircut. I'm not getting a lifestyle change. You know, it's like, but this is out of control. This is, I was just on the Tonight Show and I saw pictures of, and I already knew my hair was out of control, but I saw pictures of it and I'm like, this was never the plan. The plan was to never, was never to let it get this long. This is what happens. I go, I need a haircut. First off, I get my hair cut from a lady named Stephanie. And Stephanie, like, you know, retired from cutting hair. She has a new job, but she owns a salon, so she will still cut my hair. But I feel weird asking her to cut my hair now because she's like, that's, she doesn't even do that job anymore. But she's been cutting my hair for years now, like 5 years. I don't want to get a new hairstylist. Like, I even hate the whole idea, but I feel like if I go to a barber shop, it's just not worth the risk. You know, you go somewhere, you get your hair cut, and you go, oh no, not like this. And then you got to walk around like that. I learned my lesson getting haircuts. I used to go to the mall and get haircuts. I would get so messed. I remember high school, I had no idea what to do with my hair, but every time I went to get a haircut, I would be like, ah, there goes the next month of my life waiting on this to grow back out. I would go in with pictures, you know, and I'm like, I want to look like this guy. And I feel like the person cutting my hair was like, I can make your hair look like that. I can't make you look like that guy. But then they never could make even make my hair look like that guy. But anyway, my point is, I'll go, I need to get a haircut. And then I come home, I got a few days at home, I forget to call Stephanie, I don't do it, and then time keeps going by, and then it's like this long. And I'm like, this wasn't the plan. But then if I get it cut, like I want to get it cut, you know, significantly, so I don't have to get a new haircut just around the corner, and I don't end up in this spot again. But then I get a big haircut, and people think that I'm trying to change up my lifestyle out here. I like long hair, but I don't need it to be this long. Anyway, that's the whole point. I saw pictures of myself sitting on the in the chair with Jimmy Fallon, and I was like, oh, man, this hair's out of control. I liked my set, though. I had a good set. I did the Tonight Show last night. A lot of fun. You know, I have a lot of fun being able to do that because this is what I do, you know. I get the offer to do the Tonight Show, and I'm told, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if only is the right word, but one of the only, but maybe the only. I don't remember exactly what I was told, but one of the only comics to do the Tonight Show two times in one calendar year, I guess, meaning within a 12-month period. Because I did it in, and I don't know exactly, but I did it maybe in, I don't remember when the last time I did it was, but feels like it was within a 12-month period. That feels cool. I've done the Tonight Show 6 times now, which is, seems even insane to say. And it's great. I love doing it. I have a great time. What I liked particularly about doing it this time was that Tim Allen was on the podcast, or not the podcast, on the show, on the Tonight Show. So I got to meet Tim Allen, a big fan of Tim Allen. I loved Home Improvement as a kid, loved the Santa Claus movies, even though I don't celebrate Christmas, loved the Santa Claus movies, love Toy Story. I watched Last Man Standing a few episodes. I mean, I don't watch TV like that now, but I watched a few of those. I thought it was funny. I liked the show. I think Tim Allen is really funny. I like Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is so nice to me. He's brought me back to his show 6 times. Incredibly nice to me. But what I like is every time I do a late night, a lot of the conservative people that follow me will go, "Oh, Jimmy Fallon, huh?" They'll go, "Oh, you're doing that show again." And now that I met Tim Allen, a lot of the liberal people that are following me are like, "Oh, not Tim Allen, not Tim Allen." It's like, what are you guys even mad about? What are you mad about? Are you mad that these entertainment people who, you know, none of us know personally? Like, I've done Jimmy Fallon's show 6 times, as I just said. I don't know him personally. We're not hanging out. Like, these guys are all celebrities to me, right? And I mean, I was very nervous the first time I met Jimmy Fallon, very nervous to meet Tim Allen this time. It's like, these people are all celebrities. Most of them I'll never truly get to know. And I don't care what their politics are. Personally, I would rather no one ever talk about their politics, but I don't care what they are, you know? I mean, there's certain people out there who say pretty heinous things, and I go, "Ugh, that's a weird thing to say." But as far as interactions I've had with people, everybody's been, most people are all nice to me. And I just think it's really funny. I had in the same comments, "Oh, not Tim Allen. Oh, not Jimmy Fallon." I think it's hilarious. Even my mom one time, the last time I did the Tonight Show, I go, "Hey, I'm doing Jimmy Fallon." She goes, "Tell him not to be crying on TV." And I go, "Oh, you're talking about Jimmy Kimmel, not Jimmy Fallon." Maybe that's where I get that I hate seeing men cry on TV. Maybe it's coming from my mom. I get it from my mom. But I had a great time. I love doing it. The show's fun. This, you know, I fly into New York. I stay at the same hotel every time. The first time, I don't know if they even want me telling people this, but they told me not to tell at the time. But this was, you know, 2018. But the first time I did the Tonight Show, they put me up in a hotel. And the hotel they put me in is now the hotel I stay in every time, even though, you know, I put myself up in the hotel now. But it's like a tradition for me. I feel like all my appearances have gone well, and so I don't want to mess up. I don't want to shake it up. I don't want to change up too many things because, you know, it's like they've all gone well. Some better than others, but I think that they've all gone well. And then so I fly in, I go to the hotel, I chill out for a bit, and then I go to the Comedy Cellar. And typically I do the Comedy Cellar, and it goes okay. And then I get I do one more set at another kind of Comedy Cellar space, because they have like 4 clubs right there together, and I'll do another one of those, and then it goes better. I did the Comedy Cellar this time. People say, "Oh, are you not passed at the Comedy Cellar?" And I always say, I'll probably never be passed at the Comedy Cellar because they only see me working on a Tonight Show set. They only see me working on five. I get 5 minutes in the room, and I can't veer off my material. So I feel like the first at the Comedy Cellar, I have 5 minutes. My first joke went okay, kind of like how it did on the actual Tonight Show. Went okay. But it had been going really well at my shows. I've been opening with this at my shows all across the country, and that joke had been going really well. So when I did it at the Comedy Cellar and it went okay, it like threw me a little bit. And so then I think I just really sped up, and I did the whole thing in 4 minutes, under 4 minutes. And it needs to be, you know, 4.5, 4 minutes and 40 seconds. That's roughly what you want to go in with because, you know, the audience, if you've ever watched a lot of late nights, I mean, they tend to applaud in moments they really enjoy. I'm not really an applause break comic. I will get some here and there at shows, but that's not really my thing. That's not what I'm going for. I'm going for just laughs. But on a late night like that, they will tend to give you more applause breaks. And so I think you're making room for that. But then I did the next room, and I slowed down, and I did my thing, and it came out just right. And then I went, and then I on the next day, around 3:30, they'll have a car come and pick you up to take you there. Now, I stay so close to the 30 Rock, where the Tonight Show's filmed, that it doesn't even make sense to have the car. But they send it, and I did it the first time. I like doing it to the venue. When I leave, I never take the car when I leave. I always say, all right, I'm done with that. I can walk back. But it feels good to be delivered, you know, to your show. You're doing a TV spot. It feels better to be delivered. There's people waiting on you to take you up, you know. I don't want to show up to 30 Rock and being like, hey, I'm doing a show. I'm on the show tonight, you know. It feels better that way. So I take the car. And then they take you up the elevator and take you in. And then, you know, then you go into the back area where a lot of stuff's going on and all the guests are in their own green rooms. And, you know, and you meet, you know, you hang out with Jimmy Fallon for a second. You guys talk. And then I asked, could I meet Tim Allen? And they set it up and we got to talk. And it was really great because before meeting Tim Allen, I always go out and I do my rehearsal for the camera. I have the option, I can just kind of do a mic check, or they'll let me run the full set just for the camera crew. And I like to run the full set because it gives me one more time to say it before it actually gets taped. But I think it's so much more uncomfortable to do the set for just a few people on the crew than it is to do the actual show. So I like to go ahead and get that out of the way. I like to give my most awkward set. And then what's going on out there, even during Jimmy Fallon's rehearsal, it's on all the TVs in the green room. So you can watch it if you want. And so I had already done mine, and then I asked to meet Tim Allen, and then he's very nice. He had his wife and his daughter and a couple other people there. And introduced me to all of them. It was very nice to me. And then they go, yeah, we were watching you on the TV, and we were like, ah, pretty tough crowd out there, huh? You know, we had a good laugh. And it's, you know, it's extremely uncomfortable because I'm a fan of Tim Allen. And then you're like having a conversation with someone with an audience. You know, everybody in the green room is watching you talk to, you know, their husband or dad. And but he was very nice, and he told me about his first time doing the Tonight Show. He said it was during Johnny Carson's day, and he kept submitting, and they would show up to his shows when he was doing shows around town in New York City, and he was very dirty comic, and they would go, well, you can't say this stuff on there. And he goes, well, I wouldn't say it on TV, but you keep showing up during my act. I'm doing my full act out here. I can't, you know. And so he never got booked. And then he said he landed Home Improvement, and then they booked him. And when you get a TV show, that's when you get booked to sit down at the chair. You need TV things to get to have a segment on The Tonight Show. But he told me, he was like, I want to do stand-up. And they were like, well, you're already past that. You're in the chair now. And he goes, but I want to do stand-up. So they let him do stand-up, and he said he was a little cocky about it. And they were like, do you know where to stand? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know where to stand. I got it. Because they do show you. They give you a whole rundown, show you where to stand, where to walk to, what to do. And he goes, nah, 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 I got it. And then he said when they opened the curtain and he walked out, he said he didn't walk out far enough and the curtain, like, closed on him, like, hit his shoulders. And that made him uncomfortable. And then he steps up and his voice cracks a little bit and then basically bombs. And then he goes to sit down with Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson says to him, he says in a joking way, I hope you're funnier than what you just did. And they have a good time. And then he said, Johnny Carson, let him come back and do an actual late night set, which I thought was very nice, very cool. But I also enjoyed that, you know, at that time, you know, Tim Allen had already landed the TV show Home Improvement. He was a successful stand-up comic, but was still uncomfortable on The Tonight Show. And, you know, I don't have a TV show, but I do theaters. I've done some very big rooms. The Opry's 4,400 seats. I did, you know, 7 minutes with Nate at the Bridgestone Arena in front of, I think, 18,000 people. The shows I'm doing theater shows for 1,000 people, sometimes more, all over the country, and sometimes less, but an average of about 1,000 people at my shows. And the Tonight Show in-house audience is much smaller. It's, I don't know how many it is. I would say at best it's 100 people in the room. But it still makes me nervous. I didn't feel real nerves walking out. The first time I thought I was going to throw up. But I don't, at this point, I don't feel real nerves walking out. But I am like, all right, here we go. And I think I pinpointed why it makes me nervous. I do shows now. At this point, I do a minimum of an hour and 20. I do 80 minutes. Sometimes I go above 90 minutes. And I can go out. I can mess around a little bit at the beginning of the show, say a few things, get myself comfortable on stage with this new audience. Then I can get into my set. And, you know, let's say I'm doing this 5-minute set like I have been doing at the beginning of my show. I'm doing this 5-minute Tonight Show set at the beginning of all my shows. But I might do 2 or 3 minutes on stage before I even get into that bit. And then I start doing the bit. And, you know, if a joke doesn't really hit the way I want, I can mess around a little bit. Or I can go into something else or do something else. I can do whatever I want. Because I got basically unlimited time. But when you're on The Tonight Show, you have already written out your bits. You've already gone, all right, this is what I'm going to say. Now, you know, it could vary, but basically it needs to be what you've said it's going to be. What you've typed up and sent into The Tonight Show, it needs to be that. And then you get 5 minutes, 4.5. It's like if you flub a joke, there's not really room to be like, no, 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 hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me do that again. You just do it. And I got through my first 2 jokes last night, no problem. And then I hit my joke about, I started doing the car stuff. And in the middle of the car stuff, I started something, for whatever reason, I start to think about what my next joke is while I'm in the middle of doing that joke. And I get really in my head real quick and I get a little scrambled and then I have to correct. I've not watched the set. I don't even know if it's noticeable. But to me, it now set my whole vibe off for the rest of the show where I'm like, oh no, I just want to be cool and calm out here. But now I'm like on it. Now I'm in my head while I'm out here. And I hate that. Because then I don't get the bit exactly the way I want to get it. When I'm doing a set like that, I like to be very on point about what my words are. I want my words to be exactly the words I want to use. If I'm doing a longer set, like I say, things may vary, but I like it to all flow the same way on a short set. And I just feel like this one got a little thrown off and I hated it. I hated that it got thrown off. Loved the set. I was very happy with how the set went. And then, you know, then the show's over and me and my friend Derek Humphrey and Kinsey on my management team, we all go out to a restaurant called Del Frisco, I think. Very nice steak place. We've had a tradition that at least the last three times that I've done the Tonight Show where we will go there. And it's fun. I like it. I like the tradition. It's a nice dinner. It's a nice treat. I don't do that very often. I don't treat myself. Matter of fact, while I was there, I walked to a grocery store when I got to my hotel, got food, and I didn't eat out at all while I was in New York, with the exception of that dinner. I got coffee at the hotel. I ate the food that I bought at the grocery store. I ate a can of sardines in my room in New York City. I spent no other money. Oh, I did take a subway that was $2.90. I'm also uncomfortable with. I've not done that in a long time. I've not done the subway by myself in a long time. And it was totally fine. I wasn't even afraid. I was afraid to go down there. But I've watched too much TV. It was totally fine. A guy was playing the flute down there. Not very well. I wish he wasn't doing it. I don't even know what good flute sounds like, but that wasn't it. But yeah, that's my experience there. And then I set out on a park bench next to the SiriusXM building. It was raining last night, but this one concrete bench was just under the roof enough to where me and Derek sat there and had a couple of cigars and just talked and had a good time and complained about some stuff and laughed about some stuff, talked about some Marvel movies. I've been continuing to watch those movies. By the way, I slept very good the first night I was in New York City, probably the best I've ever slept, and followed by one of the worst nights. After the Tonight Show, I never sleep good after doing the show. I'm fired up. I'm pumped up. I feel good. I don't stay awake to watch it. I was in bed before it aired. But I don't know. I just had an energy. I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep well. I had a flight that was supposed to leave at 3:30 because I was like, you know what? I want to enjoy myself in New York. I want to stay out late if I want to, and then I want to go to sleep because so often I have to leave early because I have somewhere else to be. Today, I didn't necessarily have anywhere to be, and I was like, let's just relax, and then I'll sleep in. I woke up at 5 a.m. Eastern time, which is 4 a.m. my time, and I was like, I ate a little food, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to sleep, and then I go, why don't I just get out of here? And I booked a different flight. I was able to cancel my other flight. I got a flight credit. I didn't get a full refund, but that's the beauty of flying all the time. A flight credit is as good as money because I go, I know I'm going to use it. It, you know, if I'm like, if I flew once a year, I'd be like, oh, no, I don't want a flight credit. I want the money back. But I'm going to use it. I'll probably book a flight later this week and use the credit. So it worked out. Got out of there much earlier. I was home. I landed at home. Me and my family, we went out to eat. And then on the way home, I noticed we've done all this, and I still would not even be flown out of New York City yet had I kept the old flight. So I was glad I moved it up. Happy to be back. It was a great time. And then something happened this morning, and I don't want to get too detailed about this because as far as I'm concerned, it's already water under the bridge. The post has been taken down. But I do want to mention it. People that saw it will know what I'm talking about. People that don't probably won't. But there was a guy that I don't know who made a post this morning, and he's a comic, and he didn't say the word steal, but he basically alluded to saying that I stole one of his jokes for my Tonight Show set last night. Now, let's see if I can find exactly what he said. That screen. It says, it only took 2 years for my new car's feature joke that had millions of views online to make it to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. But it's Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. That's how it's very important to them that you say it that way. He says, the catch, it was someone else that did the joke. Congrats to Dusty Slay. Right? So it seems in that, he's not saying that I stole it, but he's not saying, parallel thinking. He thought of it. I thought of it. That's too bad, because that does happen. That's what probably always happens. That's what happened in this case. I'm not trashing this guy, but he's not a well-known comic. I'm sure the video did very well for him, but it's like, I don't watch basically any stand-up comedy. And he said also that it's been on Sirius XM for a long time. I have Sirius XM. I have my own albums on there. But I'm not listening to comedy all the time. My life is comedy. So I'm not just spending my free time watching comedy. Once in a while, something will happen with a special where it'll get talked about enough to where I'll go, all right, I'm going to go watch it. But that's very rare. I never sit down and watch a stand-up special. I will watch some clips here and there if I see them. But also the joke. It is a joke that I used last night, so I don't want to criticize the joke. But the joke itself is a fairly generic joke. I almost don't want to talk about the joke because I don't want to, you know, give it away. And I don't want to put this guy on blast. That's not what I'm trying to do. He did take it down. But, you know, it's a joke that we've all experienced. It's one of the features of a new car, I'll say that. And it's a feature that probably annoys a lot of us, especially if you grew up in the 80s or 90s and were in cars that didn't have this feature. But what annoyed me the most about it was that he started to have comments in there, and in the comments, people were saying and implying that I stole the joke. And he wasn't disagreeing with them. He wasn't going, oh, no, I'm not saying he stole it. I'm just saying it's a bummer that this was a big joke for me, and now I feel like it's gone because a bigger comic has done the joke. That's the way to handle it. Matter of fact, on my special Wet Heat, I have my whole closing bit about farting in the elevator. I have been doing for, you know, several years, and my friend that opens for me a lot opened for this guy, another comic that I know personally, who's a professional, who's very good at comedy, very successful, very professional. And he had a very similar closer to mine. And the guy reached out to me, the successful comic, reached out to me on, Facebook Messenger. We're not best friends. We're not on a text thread. But he reached out to me on Messenger. We are friends on Facebook. And he said, hey, I just worked with a comic. He said, we have a similar closing bit. And then he sent his to me. And I watched it. And it was remarkable how similar the bits were to be so unique, in a sense. It's, you know, a joke. If you've seen Wet Heat, I'm talking about farting in an elevator. And then it was, you know, a real scenario that happened to me, but then I created some fictional parts at the end. And our jokes, mine and this guy's jokes, were not the same, but they were similar, right? Very similar. And, you know, we shared them back and forth. And then I go, man, that is very close. I just recorded mine. It's not out yet. It will be on my Netflix special. His was not recorded anywhere. It was not out publicly. We had not worked together. In fact, and again, I know this guy, and I would never, ever accuse him of stealing the joke from me. And he wasn't accusing me of stealing it from him. And I know he didn't take it from me, because his joke was, even though it was very close to mine, it was personal enough to him to where it's like, I believe this happened to you. But I'm like, the only time was he was at the mothership one time when I was there doing my full set. But I can tell you, comics, especially if you're a headline comic, you never watch any comic's full set. I've not watched a headliner's full set, except for like Eric Eaton doing a magic show. I was so entertained by his show, I ended up watching the full show. But I don't know when I've watched a full headliner set in a long time. But he was there while I was doing it. It was my closing bit. I don't think he saw it. But my point is, we were professionals, and we talked about it. I don't know if he's still doing the joke. I hope he is. And I even said to this guy today, because I commented on it, I got messages from people, I got screenshots from people showing me this, and I go, geez, guy, it's not even fresh off the presses yet, and you're already accusing me of stealing your joke. So I go over, I comment, in a nice way, in the nicest, most professional way possible. And then he comments, you know, we have a pretty good laugh about it. I comment on a couple of the other guys' comments. One guy said, oh, are we kneecapping this guy or what? I don't assume the guy is really threatening to hit my knees, so I make a joke about it. I think it's pretty funny. Another guy says, as long as you don't have to dress like Dusty Slay dresses, then I think it's a win for you. I was like, okay, so that was pretty personal. But the guy who made the original comment had a picture of himself with a beard and a hat. So I just saved that picture and shared it in the comment. And I go, you're not saying this guy really looks that different from me, are you? Something like that. I'm just trying to keep it fun, you know? And then he messaged me personally and said, thanks for being cool about it. But then as the, you know, he also never said, oh, yeah, I'm sure it's just a case of parallel thought. And parallel thought, if you don't know, the idea of that is you thought of a joke idea, and you took it to the stage. I thought of a joke idea and took it to the stage. As long as these things aren't word for word, it's usually all passed off as parallel thought, and we move on from it, right? We go, it's a bummer. Like recently, I had a joke I was doing about self-help, and I really liked the joke. I was really, I was having a lot of fun with it. And then a guy tweeted at me. He was very nice about it. I actually overreacted to him and later apologized. I later deleted my post to him and then apologized to him in the DMs. I didn't say anything bad about the guy, but I just, you know, I kind of quote tweeted him, kind of shamed him in a way, and it was unnecessary. But I was bummed about it because he goes, hey, he goes, I just want to say to you, this is pretty close to a George Carlin joke, and I just didn't want somebody else to come out and say something to you about it. And I went and watched the George Carlin joke, and it is similar. The main difference in between the two bits was I was saying self-help. That's not real, right? You can't help yourself. And I did it. I was doing it in a fun way as if to say, isn't it confusing that, like, it seems like the definition of help is I need somebody, like the Beatles song, help, I need somebody, help, you know? And George Carlin's take was to be angry about it and call these people stupid for reading self-help books. And I would have kept it, but my favorite line of my joke was, and if you're reading a self-help book, that somebody else wrote, then that person, I even forget my own joke. I go, if you're reading a self-help book that was written by somebody else, that's somebody else helping you. That's just a help book. And George Carlin had that line. It's a help book. But that was kind of my favorite line in it, you know? So what did I do? Well, George Carlin's dead. And obviously it would have been, again, me stealing the joke. But I just go, ah, bummer. And I just stopped doing the joke. And then I just write more. That's what you got to do. You just got to write more jokes. It's happened to me many times. It's one of the reasons I don't like to watch stand-up. If I write jokes that I like, I don't want to be watching somebody else's stand-up and feel like I have to stop doing the joke because somebody else has already touched on the topic. Mitch Hedberg, one of my favorite comics of all time, I wish that he had not died so we could have gotten more comedy out of him. Something that bothers me about him, the thing that makes him so great is that he's this incredible one-liner comic. But one-liner comics, it takes a lot of one-liners to fill up an hour. So to me, it just eats up a lot of premises. And Mitch Hedberg has the most iconic escalator joke of all time. I feel like we're never allowed to make escalator jokes because Mitch Hedberg has a great escalator joke. And it's too bad. But there's far too many comics out here now for the joke police to be everywhere all the time. Like, you know, it's like, it felt like there was a time when there was like a handful of comics on TV. And, you know, obviously if you took one of their jokes, it's like, well, yeah, you saw that off TV. But now it's like everybody's posting their stuff online. Everybody's everywhere. And then you're like, oh, you stole my thing. And it's like, no one's stealing from you. I have, as it stands publicly, you know, I have an hour on YouTube. I have 2 hours on Netflix. I have an hour and a half that I'm doing live. I have Making That Fudge album, that's another hour. And then I have Crockpot Comedy, that's another hour. That's 5 hours of comedy that I have. I'm not trolling the internet for no-name comics, and I'm not trying to be that guy. Oh, he's a no-name comic. I've been a no-name comic. I just became a named comic, right? I've been a no-name comic forever. But I'm not trolling the internet for no-name comics to steal jokes from. It's just offensive on so many levels, and mainly because the comments kept rolling in from other comics. I'll read you a couple here that people were writing. Let's see. Here's one from a guy that I don't know, and based on his profile pics, seems like a moron. Dusty Slay is mid as hell. He's Brundafly. I don't know what that means. I don't even know if this guy knows how to spell. He's Brundlefly. He's a Brundlefly. I don't know what this means, but that's what he says. He's a Brundlefly of a learning disabled Nate Bargatze and Judah Friedlander's clothes. So I guess he's saying I'm a dumber version of Nate dressing like Judah Friedlander. And listen, I get it, buddy. The Judah Friedlander joke has been made about me for 10 years now. Judah Friedlander completely disappeared off the face of the earth. COVID didn't literally kill him, but mentally killed him. I don't know if you've seen him lately. I was a fan too. He's not a guy you model a look after. You don't go, ooh, Judah Friedlander, that's a good looking guy. I'd like to start looking like him. Just spend some time in Nashville and you'll realize that this look is not even that unique. It's a Southern look. There's a lot of Nashville musicians that look like this. There's a lot of bartenders that look like this. There's a lot of this going on in Nashville. So, you know, and yeah, me and Nate are both clean. So that's why we get compared to a lot, because we're both clean and both very funny. But I'm mid. I'm just mid to this guy. Just mid. This guy who, I don't know, probably doesn't do any comedy. And if he does, I'm sure it's well below mid. You know what I mean? But I'm mid as hell, dude. I'm just mid as hell. Also, I probably wouldn't talk about this, even though I did post it on my social media, because you have to. But I just got there was a very nice article from the New York Times. Now, I know, depending on where you're at politically, depending on where you care about the media, believe me, I'm the first one to call out the media, say the media sucks. It does suck, right? But when the New York Times writes a pleasant article about you, you take a moment and you go, hey, sometimes they get it right. You know what I mean? But really, I mean, it's like, when you're talking about arts, I don't know, it's nice. And I would imagine this guy who wrote this, that I was mid as hell, probably enjoys the New York Times. And the New York Times said that I'm one of the best comics working today. And I appreciate that compliment, because that's what I want, right? I don't want to be the best. Who wants to be the best? What is the best? Feels like it just opens you to a world of criticism. But one of the best working today, it's a great compliment, because that's what I want to be. I want to be the kind of comic that when you buy a ticket to my show, you come to my show, you're not disappointed, you go, that was what I was expecting to see, or perhaps even funnier, and I left feeling good about myself. And the New York Times says that I'm accomplishing that goal. I'm one of the best working today. It's a great compliment. And it's a great compliment that he doesn't say, oh, this guy's the greatest of all time. Best, one of the best working today. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the New York Times for saying that. And then this guy, to him, that kind of stuff, that's mid as hell, man. That's just mid as hell. Okay, here's another one. This one says, where is he? I just want to talk. And then he has a symbol of a crossbow, assuming, you know, I obviously I'm not taking these as real threats that this guy really wants to kill me, but it just goes, it just furthers the notion that I've stolen this joke, which, you know, this has been liked and laugh emojis. Ha ha ha. Yeah, he deserves to be killed. He stole your joke. What a hack. That's what I'm saying. It just furthers this idea. And then here's another one. This guy says he's been at, and I assume he's talking about the club, hasn't he? And my friend summarized it best. My friend Mary J. Berger, I don't think she would mind if I said this. And if she does, I'm sorry, Mary J. But she just had a comment that I thought was really funny. And it just said, okay. Oh, okay. She says, my other fave was when someone asked if you'd performed at their club, and he was like, no, but he's been at the theater down the street. And I don't know. I just think that's funny. In this context, I think that stuff's funny, right? It's like, has he been to your club? No, but he was, you know, at a better spot down the way. And the club's probably great. I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just, you know, I'm just a little salty about some of these comments. Here's another one. What a tool. I'm a tool now. Now I'm a tool because I did a joke that this guy also talked about the same subject, not the same joke. We were both annoyed by the same feature. We both grew up broke. We were both annoyed by the same feature. Okay. And this guy says, what level of comedy 101 is this? Asking for a friend. I don't know what that means exactly, but I think he's also saying, he stole the joke. This is comedy 101. Don't steal jokes, buddy. What a hack. And then this guy says, sorry, man. Frankly, I'd murder him. Good thing I walked away years ago. I don't know what that means. Does that mean you walked away from murder? Or were you a comic and you were so good that you would murder me on stage? So my overall point is, and now we talked. He had messaged me earlier and thanked me for being cool. But then, you know, didn't take the post down. So it left room for these guys, these comics that I don't know, that if I just met them at an open mic, if I met them at a club, if they came to, you know, Zany's in Nashville and was on New Material Monday, I would be very nice to them. I would be welcoming to them. I would probably invite them out to the truck after the show to have a cigar. And if they were funny, I would probably even invite them to do my own show. But because this guy put this claim, put this thing out there, like I stole this joke, then now I have to be open. They feel like it's free reign to take a dump on me. Oh yeah, this guy. Oh, what, he's mid as hell, man. And it's like, guy, just relax, buddy. It's okay. It's more likely that, you know, your friend is mid, right? This was another one that, let's see, I could not find this one on my own, so maybe it was deleted. It says, Dusty Slay, this proves that Blanks got the chops and you have the industry connections. You should drop his name, give him a boost. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop his name and give him a boost. He's going to inadvertently or indirectly accuse me of stealing a joke, and then I'm going to give him a boost. That's what I'm going to do. Just give him a boost. Now, again, this guy, I don't want to say his name, and the post is gone. So hopefully there's no way that you can hear this podcast and then go track it down. If you've already seen it, then you know. But it's just like, I'm not trying to shame this guy or drag this guy through the mud or anything like that. I'm just simply talking about it, that there's this epidemic, I feel like, out there of comics that, you know, they don't have anything else going on. Either they are not working hard enough to get to the next level. They're not putting in the work that needs to be done, as I have done, as I traveled all over the country in a car, a featureless car, a car that had no features. I traveled all over the country doing comedy in clubs for very little money. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try to do a tangent here. Speaking of that, I was just in Wausau, Wisconsin this past weekend, and then Green Bay, Wisconsin. Did a couple of theater gigs. Had a really great time. They were very fun shows. There was a bar, Abe Auer, a friend of mine in Wisconsin, opened for me on both of those shows. Really great. I got to meet all of Abe's family. They all came out to the show. His sons, his daughter, his sister, his nephew, his mom. They all came to the show. His wife came to another. I've already met her. I didn't get to see her at the show. But they all came to the show in Green Bay. It was great. I got to meet them. Got to hang with them. I loved it. I love Wisconsin. I've driven all over the state of Wisconsin doing shows, and I like to save it on my maps. I use Google Maps, and I've saved for years and years, 10 years, I've saved everywhere that I've performed at comedy. And so I can zoom out on the country and see little yellow stars all over the country of places that I've done comedy, and then I can go back and look and see where I've performed. And so I was in Wausau, and I, to my knowledge, I had never been to Wausau before. Really nice theater, really nice town. I really loved it. And I zoomed out a little bit, and I saw another yellow star right there in the area. And I was like, oh, what is that? And clicked it, and it was a place called Cuckoo's Nest Comedy Club. Cuckoo Comedy's Nest, Cuckoo's Nest Comedy Club, something like that. I would pull it up, but it'll take a minute, and then I'll be like going, while I'm looking for it. You know how that goes. So I'm not going to look for it, but it's closed anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I was just like, I was reminded of that as I'm seeing these people attacking me in the comments. I'm like, I drove to Cuckoo's Comedy Nest in Rothschild, Wisconsin, to do a one-nighter. I probably made $200. I was headlining. It was freezing cold. It was absolutely freezing cold. I went to a restaurant before the show. There was a group of people there. They saw me. I was a no-name comic, but they saw me on the flyer, and they said, hey, we're coming to your show tonight, and they were so excited. My feature on the show did so long. He did 30 minutes and then did a 10-minute merch pitch. He basically did a headlining set. By the time, he was not very good. By the time I got up on stage, they were already tired. They were worn out. The host did a long set. The feature did a long set. I had no pull. And then I didn't bomb, but it was an okay set. If you saw that set, you would be like, this guy's mid as hell, man. And then the people that were so excited to see me were nowhere to be found after the show. I don't think the feature sold a lot of merch, but neither did I. And then I get back in the car and I go to my hotel. I go to my freezing car that took a long time to warm up, and I drive to my hotel, which also wasn't very warm. And I just think about that, and I think about how many of these comics criticizing me in these threads are actually out here putting in the work. People get bitter so fast now. It used to take a road comic years to get bitter, where they like just grinded it out and never got a shot. I know so many comics from the road that are like that. I'm not even saying they're bitter. I know so many, though, that have just been grinding it and hustling it and are very funny and have never gotten a shot. They've never gotten a shot. And for various reasons, you know, some of them have drug problems. Some of them are great on the road but don't do good in industry places. Luckily for me, I started comedy in Charleston, South Carolina, in a very artsy scene, and then I had to learn to work the road. So I feel like I do good in industry situations because, you know, I started in an artsy scene. I have a unique look despite, a hack person once in a while saying I'm ripping off Judah Friedlander, a comic that barely exists anymore. I'm not saying I dislike Judah Friedlander, and I'm not even hating on him. I'm saying, though, he barely exists now. 30 Rock was a long time ago. It's more, calling me Billy Ray Cyrus makes more sense now. Calling me Kid Rock. Somebody said I look like Kid Rock off Temu the other day. I go, come on. Of the two of us, am I the Temu-looking one? Come on. I know he's more famous than me, but am I the Temu-looking one? Come on, guys. But, you know, that doesn't bother me that much. I did comment back and forth with it, but it didn't bother me that much. I don't want to criticize Kid Rock. I've met him a couple of times. Been very nice to me. But I just thought, I see these comics, they get bitter so fast. And I'm like, what have you even done? You do a handful of open mics, you showcase for the local club, they don't book you, you get butt hurt, and then you disappear, and then you go online and you trash other people that are having success. I'm the guy that would help you. I'm the guy that if you emailed me asking, would I help you? I will. I just had a guy the other day from Louisiana. He sent me an email. Pretty new comic. He's 1 year in. He sent me a video. I watched the video. I watch videos all the time. And I thought the guy was very unique. I thought the guy was funny. I could tell he was new. Like he wasn't, you know, a great comic, but he was funny. And I could tell he was working it and he was doing his best to hustle. He was sending out the emails. I said, yeah, man, come on. Come do my show. So I invited him to Nashville, and he did my show on Tuesday. And then I said, if you come in a day early, I can probably get you on the two Monday night shows. So I got him on the Nate Land Showcase. I got him on New Material Monday. I got him on my show. Three great shows at one of the best clubs in the country, in one of the best scenes. According to the New York Times, Nashville is a hot comedy scene right now. And so I put this guy on, and then I got all these other comics criticizing me because they think I stole a joke. That's what bothers me. It was left open to be like, oh yeah, even though I've now communicated with this guy, he's told me that he believes it's parallel thought. Because I even said, I watched your joke. It's different enough to where I don't think you have to stop using your joke. I mean, we're talking about the same feature on the car, but you have a different take. It wasn't word for word. That's also another thing. Another guy had a comment. Sorry, my nose itches. Another guy had a comment where he was like, well, sometimes it's parallel thought unless the joke seems just really word for word. And I'm like, well, yeah, don't you see the two bits and say, oh, this is not word for word. This is not the same bit. And so it's like, just get out there and just put in the work. Just do the work. I did the work. I'm a road comic who never lived in New York City, never lived in LA, never lived in Chicago, never lived in DC, never lived in a big city. Zany's was always here when I moved here, and Zany's was a hot club. But since I've lived here, the comedy scene here has grown exponentially. And I'm not saying it's me. I'm just saying since I've been here, and the club has gotten hotter and hotter and hotter since I've lived here. I've been doing a show at Zany's for almost 10 years. I'd say 8 years. Let's say 8 years. I've been doing my show at Zany's in Nashville. Early on, the attendance was so low that I considered canceling the show because I was worried that Zany's was, you know, gonna judge me or are gonna want to cancel the show themselves. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go ahead and get ahead of that. But I didn't do it. And now the show sells out every time. It you know, there may be nights where I do Tuesday nights. And there may be a Tuesday where, you know, we have a handful of tickets left. But for the most part, it sells out every time. And it's because it's a good show. It's a good show. People can come see it and know they're going to have a good time. It's relatively clean, like all of my comedy. And so people come and they enjoy themselves. It's like I put in the work. I am a good comic because I work it. Even now, I'm doing theaters. I have a great team around me, and they're not, I'm not saying they're like pushing back on me, but I think they would prefer I just do the theaters. But I want to do clubs. Next year, I'm mixing in some clubs. I want to do clubs because, you know, there may come a time, and there probably will come a time when I go, if I'm fortunate enough, to where I go, you know what, let's just do theaters because it's nice. Theaters are a sweet gig, man. You pull into the back, you go into the green room, they have all the snacks that you've requested waiting on you, and I have a two-man show. I announce the host. He goes out, my host, opener, he does 20, 25 minutes and then introduces me, and I do an hour to an hour and a half, and then we go home. I'm doing a few clubs where I'll be doing five shows. I'll do one on Thursday. I'll do two Friday, two Saturday. I'm also going to be doing some military shows next year. Not overseas, but I'll be going to military bases here in the United States. I'm doing casinos. I like to mix it up because that is how I believe you stay fresh. I also like doing the Tonight Show. I got comments criticizing me about that, going, oh, the seven people that still watch the show will appreciate it. And it's like, and then I go, or the hundreds of thousands on YouTube. And the guy goes, that's not the flex you think it is. And I go, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, who's flexing? I'm just doing the show. I'm advertising that I'm doing the show. And you, for some reason, think you have the insider track on the ratings that the Tonight Show gets. But what I like about doing it, for one, it's a classic show. I like to take a trip to New York City. I don't like to stay long, but I like to take a trip in there. It's fun to breeze in. I like to walk around. I like to have a cigar on the street and just look at people. I like being there. I think it's fun. I don't want to live there, but I like doing the Comedy Cellar. I like popping in. I got to talk to Colin Quinn. I talked to Jim Norton. It's pretty fun. You know what I mean? Pretty fun. And I got to hang with Michael Cox, the last late-night comedy booker. Colbert doesn't do comedy anymore. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't do comedy anymore. Michael Cox, he's the last late night booker. I'm hanging with the last gatekeeper out here. It's fun. I enjoy it. We're friends. And it's like, another thing that I really like is that it helps me focus on, can I still craft a 5-minute set? Can I craft a good 5-minute set? And and perform it in front of an audience that potentially is not fans of mine? Can I make an audience of people that doesn't know who I am laugh? I'm sure some people knew who I was, but probably most of them didn't. Can I do it? Can I come out and start at joke one, get them to laugh, and laugh through the set? I got applause breaks during it. It's like, that's what it's all about. And it's because I put in the work. I'm still putting in the work. I like putting in the work. There are easier routes that I could go. There are harder routes too. I could be doing a lot more dates, but I, you know, I have a family that I want to hang out with. But I was gone almost 4 days this week, five when you add in the travel that I've had. And it's like I miss my kids, miss my wife, miss sleeping in bed with my wife. My kids were so excited to see me. They were running around the room like maniacs. They were so happy to see me. I love that. But I'm putting in the work because I care about comedy. I want to make people laugh. It's fun. I like being good at it. And the only way you can be good at it is doing it. But these comics out here, these new comics, they just think, oh, I'm gonna pop in here and I'm going to do it for 6 months. I'm going to listen to every comedy podcast on the planet. And now I'm an expert and I'm going to be the joke police. I'm going to spend my life on the internet and I'm going to be the person who says who did what joke first. You know how many times I got accused of, because I did jokes about blacking out, I got accused of stealing them from Amy Schumer and John Mulaney. They were not at all alike. The jokes were not at all alike. We were both just talking about how we drank until we blacked out. Somebody accused me of stealing Derek Stroop's joke about not having Ubers and Lyfts back when we were drinking. And it's like, guys, me and Derek are both from Alabama. We're from similar places. We're probably pretty similar age. I'm sure we both had real drinking problems. And, you know, it's like we probably both drank and drive a lot. It's like you're going to have these parallel thoughts. And it's like you got to get over it. There's too many comics now. It's too many. And people, on the flip side, I only talk about the times that people accuse me of stealing jokes. People also tag me and stuff all the time and say, this guy took your bit. And I go, watch it. And I go, it is very close. I don't make any deal about it at all. But I just think to myself, that is very close. But they probably did not steal it from me. Most recently, there was a guy on Kill Tony, and I think he was like taking off his glasses and being like, he's like, I look like this with my glasses. I take them off. I look like this. And I go, you know what? I bet that guy just looks different with his glasses and without them. And he wrote those jokes. It's like he could have been inspired by me. But you know what? There's a comic out of Nashville. He may be living in Texas now, but named Bone Hampton. Bone Hampton had a joke before me. I didn't realize he had it. But he had a joke where he took off his glasses and put them back on. There's another comic in Nashville named Matt Taylor, and he's bald, and he had a joke where he's like, I look like this with my hat, I look like this without my hat. It's like we're all writing these jokes because we do all look like this with that thing, and then we look like this without it. It's like we're just all out here trying to write jokes. Everybody's trying to write jokes. We're trying to be funny. We're trying to make people laugh. It's like we got to loosen up a little bit. But these joke police, man, they can't wait. They go, ooh, is this a moment for me to be relevant? Can I get an opportunity to get in here? And also, to the guy who said, that comment again. Drop his name, give him a boost. It's not how it works. I drop names on this podcast all the time. they may get some boost out of it. But I drop names on Nate Land. I drop names everywhere. My friends, I try to help out. People that I think are very funny, I try to help out. That's not how it works. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that I like them. They go, well, what are they doing? Are they making me laugh? This podcast is longer than normal. I'm fired up. I actually am not even mad. I actually am just happy that I have something to talk about. I also want to say, I shouted them out a little bit on Instagram. They probably were annoyed by the comment. I tried to make it funny. I wanted to make it funny, but it was when I was in Wausau, I wanted to go out and, you know, have a cigar, and I couldn't find, there was no cigar bars in town, especially not open that late. And I looked up a place, and this place was called The Garage, and they were advertising that they had a patio, a fire pit, heaters, and I was like, oh, perfect. I was like, this is our spot. It's called The Garage. They got an outdoor area. It's got to be for the smokers because it's 20 degrees out. Why else would you have a fire pit and heaters if it wasn't for smokers? So we show up, me and Abe, we show up, and, you know, and I'm dragging people along, most of the people, and I am back on cigars a little bit, but I will tell you this, I'm doing little cigars. I have found little bitty ones. They're a 30-minute smoke. They're not the hour-long smokes, and it's much lighter, much easier. It satisfies my need to have a cigar after the show without it being this intense hour to hour and a half cigar. And yeah, like every addict, I get it. I'm justifying it. But I do think less is better, right? So I'm finding a solution. Because this is the thing. After a show, I don't know what to do. I don't want to eat. I feel like if I go out to eat, which a lot of comics do, that's worse for my body. I have bad digestion anyway, which is getting better. I'm actually been feeling very good. I'm seeing a new doctor. We got some new plans. It's been going very well. I don't know what to do. I don't want to go eat. It's bad for my digestion. I don't want to eat food and sit right on it. That's probably why I didn't sleep good last night, because I did that after that. But anyway, and then I don't drink. So, you know, I'm not going to go do that, you know, because not every comic, I think less and less comics are getting hammered out here, but a lot of comics do like to go have a beer. It's like, have a beer, you just talk. So the cigar does that for me, but it's, you know, just found a lighter smoke. And so anyway, so we go to the garage, and I'm saying that Abe is probably not out here doing a lot of cigars on his own. I'm dragging him around in, you know, mid-20-degree weather. And we show up at the garage. We can see the front door, but we can also see the patio, and there's a door open. So we go, I don't know. We got our own drinks. We go, maybe we just slip in there and hang out at the patio and see what happens. I will buy stuff from a place, but it seemed like it was rowdy inside. So I was like, this may not be the spot for me, but outside is. Walk into the patio, no heat lamps going, no fire pit going, signs everywhere that say no smoking on the patio. Now, we had already checked out the hotel. The hotel collected all of their patio furniture already. They had no fire pit out there. So as we're leaving the patio, we see two metal chairs sitting there, and we go, you know what? What do you think? Let's just sit in there. So we sat in two metal chairs by the front door and just had our cigars and drank our drinks, and no one ever bothered us. And I was trying to tag the garage in that on Instagram just to be fun, but I maybe shouldn't have said that they were advertising a patio when they didn't actually have one. But I don't know. It was fun. We're having a good time. I'm off this weekend. It's Thanksgiving. Oh, I didn't even get to talk about Thanksgiving. This podcast is going to come out on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. It's the only holiday left I celebrate. That's a regular man-made tradition holiday, but I do think it's great. Someone suggested once in the We're Having a Good Time Facebook group that that might have been what the early settler, that the early settlers might have been celebrating Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles during this time. So I find that interesting, or at least, you know, maybe the time got shifted. So I find that interesting. I think that's fun. But next weekend, I'm going to be in, I'll just go ahead and give you the rest of December. Let's see, I'm in, I'll be in, where are we at right now? Oh, I'm actually going to be in Cancun, Mexico, the first week. So no big deal. Very exciting. And then I'll be, if you're interested in that, it's called the, I forget what it's called. It's a music festival in Cancun. It is on my website, dustyslade.com. If for whatever reason you're interested, it should be very good. It's a music festival, Blackberry Smoke, a few other great bands. And then I'm going to do comedy. I'll be the only comedy on the festival. Should be great. So get into that. Me and Hannah are going to go. My sister's going to come up and hang with the kids. So me and Hannah are going to get a little vacation together. Be fun. And then I'll be in Dubuque, Iowa. I'll be at a casino in Dubuque, Iowa on December 12th. And then my last show of the year will be the day after Christmas, December 26th, in Pocola, Oklahoma. Pocola, Oklahoma, Choctaw Casino. So I'll be there. Very fun. Starting the year off in Naples, Florida. Get some tickets to that. My first week of December, I'm in Naples, Florida. It's January. It's probably going to be very, I don't know if it'll be very warm, but it'll be warmer than wherever else you're at. So just some biblical thing. I just had this thought. With all the holidays coming up, I just had this thought about a verse. And, I don't have the verse pulled up. I should do some research. And I marked down other things to talk about. I will get into that at another time. This podcast is out of control. But in the Bible, Jesus says, we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, not of the world. So my question, just to people, is what do you think that means? Now, I'm not looking for someone in seminary to tell me what it means. No shade on my my pastors and my seminary people that listen, but I think the Bible is. I don't mean it's open to interpretation necessarily, but I mean, let's think critically what it means and not think what we've been taught that it means, to be in the world, not of the world, especially with these holidays coming up. I always talk about food. I know I'm always talking about food and I'm wearing people out on it, but, just to think about the holidays and how there are certain ones that it seems like the whole world celebrates, or at least a good portion of it. And, that's why I like Thanksgiving. I don't feel like the whole world does. It's basically an American tradition. I think Canada has their own, but it's even a different time. So what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to you? I don't think it can mean something to you. I think it has to mean something. I have a thought on what I think it means. I'll try to share that next week, what I think it means, but just something to think about. I appreciate you guys. This is a nice extended podcast going into, Thanksgiving holiday. So probably you'll be at Thanksgiving anyway, probably won't even listen to it. And then Friday you'll be off, probably won't listen to it. And then it'll get no views and get buried, and then, but we will have missed this incredible podcast of me ranting about all sorts of things. You guys are the best. Thank you very much. We're having a good time.
Thank you.